book of 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter. We'll start reading at verse number 1, and we'll read the whole chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, but sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself, and our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of reading it here tonight. Thank you for the privilege of preaching it. Now, Father, this preacher needs you, needs your power, your wisdom. I just need you tonight, Father. You know what my needs are, and I ask you, Lord, to take care of them. And help me, Lord, as I endeavor to do this which you've appointed this evening. Pray for our preacher tonight and his family. God bless them. Help them. Give them safety, encouragement, and Lord, give them wisdom. Thank you now. In the blessed, wonderful, lovely name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. You may be seated. The election did not change everything. We were in a downward spiral. We have been for a long time. You've heard this preacher preach. I've preached it. Your pastor has preached it. We're in trouble in America. I think you understand that. But I do think it's an indication that the Lord is going to give us more what we deserve. And I think that's what he did. And so, reason I'm saying that ahead of time is this. Tonight I'm going to preach on the subject of faith needs to be developed. And I believe something. I believe in the coming days, I believe in the coming years, that our faith in God has got to increase. We've got to get our hearts and our minds off of this world and this worldly things, not trusting in them, but trusting in the true and the living God. I want to give an illustration of faith, which I've given before. You've probably heard it. Some may not have, but I want to give it to illustrate something. The man went out, been cold weather, been winter, and he went out to a pond he had, and he looked at that pond, and he wanted to go ice fishing. He decided that it was thick enough for him to go ice fishing, and so he got all of his equipment ready, and he stepped out on the pond and only got a few feet and just absolutely went right down through the ice.
He realized that the ice was not thick enough, and so he waited and waited. And a couple weeks later, and it had been extremely cold, he went out and looked again at the ice and said, "You know, I believe it's thick enough to hold me." He stepped out on that ice and walked out and cut a hole in the ice, went ice fishing, and the ice was very, very thick, and it held him up. Now, what I'm telling you about is this. Both times this man had faith. He had faith in the fact that that ice would hold him up even the first time, but it did not. He had faith that it would hold him up the second time, and it did. The whole thing is that our faith, the object of our faith, what we have faith in, must be able to do that which we demand of it. Now, you must remember this, because the only one that can ever save our soul is someone who can accomplish and can do what is necessary for our souls to be saved, which is Jesus Christ. There is none other. You know this. This is elementary. I understand that. It's elementary, but you know it. So remember this. Anything that you put your faith in must be able to accomplish that which your faith demands. Now, God not only wants us to have faith in salvation. That's a wonderful thing. We one time have to realize and understand that we need Christ as our personal Savior. You understand that. Once that is accomplished and we put our faith and trust in Christ, we're saved. We're saved forever. Nothing can change that. But from that point on, we begin to live a life of faith. You know, as we've received Jesus Christ our Lord, the Bible says, "So walk ye in Him." You received Him by faith, and we must walk by faith. And I'm convinced that we need, and I know according to the Bible, there's certain areas that is lacking in our faith. The Bible says so here in this portion that I read. It needs to be strengthened. We need to realize that on a daily basis, our faith needs to be strengthened, and it can only be strengthened in one person. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. None of the other things in this world is going to do what our faith demands. There's no one else that can take care of me like Jesus Christ can take care of me. No one else can provide for me like Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm saying to you is simply this. We've got to get back. We've got to get our faith back to where our dependence and our faith is in the Son of God on everything. Not this world system. Not some president that's been elected. But our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And no matter who runs the White House, God is still in control. And He always will be. So we've got to get back, because I think there's a tendency. There's a tendency in Christians' lives, if we don't be careful, to begin to put trust. Although we trust Jesus as our Savior, we begin to put trust in the system, the financial system, and all of those things, instead of in our wonderful, loving God. So what I want to do is share with you tonight about faith. Paul here was concerned about their faith. Now, you know, you and I, when we greet each other, we usually say, I've watched this thing, we'll usually say, "Hello, how are you? How you doing today?" Listen, I tried not to do that on purpose, and I couldn't do it. It's just a habit of life. Anybody you walk up to, you say, "Hi, how you doing?" Well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I don't know that we really care how they're doing. I think it's more just a thing we say. You know, and sometimes I've said, "How you doing?" And 10 minutes later, I've wished I didn't ask how they were doing. Amen? But do we care? Oh, I think we care. I mean, I think we're concerned about other people. And I want to say this to you. The Apostle Paul was concerned even about the health of other folk. Lord Jesus certainly was. He healed multitudes. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong to be concerned about the physical condition of another person. I think that is normal and that's proper. But Paul here, in this portion of Scripture, was not concerned about their physical condition. He was concerned about their faith. And I wonder sometimes if it maybe wouldn't be better if we as God's children would be more concerned about the faith of the brethren instead of the physical condition of the brethren. I wonder sometimes if it wouldn't be good we'd walk up to our brethren in Christ and say, "How's your faith today? How's your closeness to the Lord today?" I'm not saying that wrongly, but I just really think that that's more important than our physical condition. How is our faith? The Apostle Paul was concerned, at least here in this portion of Scripture, about their faith. I mean, really concerned about it. And so that's what we're going to preach on. We're going to look at the developing of our faith and why Paul was concerned with these folks at Thessalonica, their faith. Once you notice in verse 1 and 2, I'm going to reread that. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. What did he do? He says, and he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Look also in verse number 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. I'm convinced that we ought to be more concerned about each other's faith. I'm convinced that when we see someone faltering in the faith and not being faithful, that it would be a good idea not to be nosy or unkind, but to be concerned about, are you walking away from the faith? What is happening in your life? If you'll notice here, to Paul, this was a great concern. The faith of the Thessalonians was a great concern to him. How is your faith? What did he do about it? Well, he sent someone very capable to go and check on it and to do something about it. I think that shares with us how important it was to him, because he said, and sent Timotheus, our brother, the minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Timothy was a very special brethren to Paul. He had a lot of confidence in him. And so he sent one of the best that he had to go check on their faith. I think that's important. And he said when he comes, he's going to establish your faith and he's going to comfort you in your faith. I believe, according to that, that God is telling us that we need our faith established. And there's people who God sends our way to help to do that. Let me share with you, if you want to turn there, it's fine, but in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, I want to read to you something. These are familiar verses, but listen what God says in the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, I know you've heard this before, so don't just let it pass over. Why did he send them? Why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I'll stop there for a moment, because he's saying unto us, he wants pastors, evangelists, he wants them to come and help us establish our faith. Your faith and my faith needs to be established. It needs to grow. You understand? And it needs to be established, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he even tells us in verse 14 why. He says,
that ye henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He said, I don't want you to be a people who's tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Some of you young folk, I want you to take time sometime and look around at some of the older folk of the church. I want you to take a good look at them. I want to tell you why they're still here serving God. Because their faith has been established. And they've been strengthened in their faith. That's why when the doors open back there on service nights, if all possible, you see them walk in and sit in their place. It's a tremendous testimony to the young people of this church. And you ought to understand why. Could they be blown around with every wind of doctrine? Oh, they could be. But they're not. They've been established in the faith by preachers and by evangelists and by their own study of the Word of God. They've established in the faith. I say to you, we all need to grow in our faith. Amen? We need to do that. We never need to get to the place where we say we have arrived. There's always something lacking. And we need to move forward in our faith. So the apostle here was telling us that's why God sends these men into your life. That's why God gave you Pastor Jerry, to come and preach to you the Word of God, and it strengthens your faith. That's why when he has evangelists and other people come in and they preach the Word of God to us, what does that do? Well, that establishes our faith. You may have heard those things that they preach over and over and over, but that's all right. That establishes your faith in God. It builds your faith. You see, The word established there means to set fast. Set fast. I see Brian Sluter back there. He's a cement man. And he wants that cement, when he's poured it, to set fast. He don't want it to go anywhere after it's poured. It's kind of like God is saying about our faith. Set it like a chunk of cement. Set your faith. Establish your faith. He even said, it even means to turn in a certain direction. Your faith must always be turned in the direction of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. None other. Not in this world's system, not in other people, but your faith must be in Christ. And then also, it's a word that means, the established there means to confirm. You've confirmed your faith, and it's not going to move. Amen. You see, God says that Timotheus was sent to them to establish their faith. You and I need our faith established, and also to comfort us in our faith. I don't know how many times I've walked into hospital rooms over the years and pulled up a chair and sat down beside that person that was in that hospital room and said to them, and I usually have said this, you know what I'm going to tell you, you already know. And I begin to tell them how much God loves them. I begin to tell them that God is going to be with them. Because it's a promise of God. Now, do they already know that? Sure they do. What am I doing? I'm comforting them in their faith. I'm encouraging them in their faith. Amen? How many times have I set with people who's went through troubles and trials and heartaches and tribulation and said the same thing to them? You know, what I'm going to say to you, you already know. But God will be with you through this. You know that, but I need to comfort them. I need to encourage them and comfort them. That's what Paul sent Timotheus to the Thessalonians to do. To establish their faith and to comfort them in their faith. Not only that, the Bible tells us in this portion of Scripture in verse number 3 and 4 that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto.
For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Not only that, but faith will suffer. You must understand something. When problems and troubles and heartaches come into our life, God knows all about them. The Apostle Paul said to those, I don't want you to be troubled because of the afflictions that I'm going through. Probably he was talking about those afflictions in Ephesus, more than likely. But he said, I don't want you to be troubled because of that, because I told you before we were going to suffer tribulation. And when we look around and we see sometimes a brother or a sister in Christ that's going through difficult and hard times, and sometimes I mean real tribulation, it should not throw our faith or discourage us in our faith, because we know that's part of the Christian life. And the Apostle Paul is simply saying to them, be encouraged. Don't be discouraged because what you see happening in our life and the afflictions that I am suffered, because faith, those who truly stand in faith, will suffer. Not only that, faith will also be attacked. Look at verse number 5. He says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Don't you understand that any man who walks in faith, any woman who walks in faith, the old tempter is going to do his best to attack your faith and to discourage you in your faith? He again is simply warning. That's part of the Christian life. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to discourage you in your faith in God. He wants you to think that God really doesn't care about you, because all of these afflictions, all of these things that come upon you, and these things that are happening to you, that God really doesn't care. Now, you and I know better than that. But if you don't be careful, old Satan will tempt you to believe that. Many times when things don't happen on our time schedule, amen, when we think it should happen, we think maybe God has forgot us, he's a long way off and doesn't care, but you and I both know that that's not our God. But Satan will cause you to be, your faith to be attacked. Now, in fact, over in 2 Corinthians, I'd like to read something there to you. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 1. He said, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But listen to what he says. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, Paul was worried about the brethren, those he had led to Christ, that old Satan would come along and beguile them and get them to thinking opposite of what the Word of God said and the promises of God were. That can happen to us. See, your faith and my faith will be attacked. You see, well, not only that, your faith and my faith will be tested. Any decision down through the years that I've seen people make in an altar has always been tested. You see a young man or young lady come up and say, I'm going to give my life, my heart to the Lord. I'm going to serve Him for the rest of my life. Let me assure you one thing, that decision will be tested. There'll be things come into that life that will discourage you from following through on that. Faith will always be tested. True faith will always be tested along the road somewhere. You take Abraham, one of the great men of God, as God, there in the close to the end of Abraham's life, he said to him, take your son, Isaac, up on that mountain and slay him. Sacrifice him. You talk about a test. Put yourself in his shoes. Abraham came through in flying colors. He went up on that mountain and was ready to slay his own son, sacrifice his own son before God's stopped him. What I'm saying is your faith is going to be tested, folks. That's why he's telling us we need to strengthen our faith. You need to be established in your faith. We need to learn on a daily basis to walk with God in everything that we do. Stay in contact with the Lord every single day of our life. Stay in contact with Him. Help Him to direct what you're doing that day, even if it's the smallest items. You would laugh. I'm not going to share it with you, but you would laugh at some of the things I talk to God about. Sometimes they're the very smallest areas of my life. And I talk to Him and tell Him how much I need Him in the very smallest areas of our life. You see, we need to build our faith. Not only that, in verse number 6 and 7, back in 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, verse 6 and 7, he says, "But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distresses by your faith." Let me just say something to you. Do you understand that the faith of the brethren affects you? The Apostle Paul said, "I was going through all of these afflictions, tough, difficult." But he said, "The faith, your faith, comforted me." I want to tell you, for no other reason, we ought to be faithful. It's a comfort to the brethren. Does it not encourage you when you see the brethren walk into this church and sit down, and then and they come every service that ever possibly they can, they're here? Does not that comfort you? Does not that comfort you when you see some of the brethren go through tribulation and afflictions, and they still stand fast with God? That comforts me. That's a blessing to me. Amen? You see, that's what he's saying. You see, it's right and proper for us to hold fast and stand fast in God, certainly for Him, but also for the brethren. Apostle Paul said, "I was encouraged and helped in my afflictions because of your faith." Amen? So for no other reason, be faithful. I know I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd, but be faithful. Be faithful. Love God. Walk with God. Serve Him, because you're an encouragement and a help to the brethren. Look at 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse number 6. He says, "And we became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of inner end we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Did you see? He said, "We're in every place your faith is Godward is spread abroad." Folks, it's a right for a church to have a testimony of faith in God and trust in God and walk with God. It's a right for us as brethren to not falter, but to be faithful. You see, because that encourages the brethren. I could take you to different places, and I might go over to 2 Thessalonians just for a moment. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Listen what he says in verse 1. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly."
and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You see, these folk were going through tribulations and hardships, but yet their faith was strong. And it encouraged the brethren. I'm just simply saying to you folks, it is right for us to be responsible to the brethren. We ought to stand in faith. Over in the Hebrews, the 10th chapter, he talks about that we ought to provoke one another unto love and good works. You see, it's right for us to do that. We're to consider one another. We're to exhort one another. I just believe something. I'm not talking about walking around and being a smart aleck and saying, why aren't you more faithful? I think we need to, with a heart that comes from the love of God, say to brethren who is falling away, brethren, let me tell you something. I love you in the Lord. Please, please be faithful. Not unkindness, but we're to encourage one another. The Bible says we're to exhort one another. Amen. Now I know you have to be careful. I don't think women ought to be walking around to men and telling them this. I think it ought to be men on men. And I even think there you got to be careful who you are. Be ready. Be sure that you are faithful before you go telling someone else to be faithful. Amen. So I'm simply saying though, you see, faith it matters. And so the Bible is just teaching us that our faith needs to grow. We need to mature, you see. And we do have lackings in our faith. In verse number 8, I'm not going to spend much time on that back in 1 Thessalonians, 3rd chapter. But verse number 8, he says, "For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." I believe something else. It just spoke to my heart when I read that verse of Scripture. We need to see people, we need to see Christians standing with conviction. Not just say being faithful to church, that's good, but we ought to have some convictions about what we will do and what we will not do. We ought to stand on those convictions. Amen. That encourages the brethren. Amen. And then also in verse number 9, notice, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God?" He said, living that away, living in faith, brings thanks unto God. You see, each one of us, if we do stand in faith, if we do walk with God, we can't say, you know what, it's all us. Every one of us has to say, thank God. Thank God for the brethren. Thank God for how they're standing in faith. It's not them, it's the God who gives them strength. So walking in faith gives and brings thanks unto God. Amen? You see, and we need to remember that's who gets the glory. That's who is to be honored. It's Him. And then notice that faith needs perfected. Look at verse number 10. And he says, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Did you notice he said there's things lacking in their faith? You believe there's anything lacking in your faith? I do. You know why? The Bible tells me that. We need to have our faith perfected. Now let me tell you how faith is perfected. All you have to do is go back to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and read that great chapter on faith. And go and read through the ones that are named. Let me tell you how their faith was perfected through hardships and tribulation and troubles. That's how it grows. It's not the easy street that grows faith. Amen. It's the times of your life when you see troubles and heartaches, but you still stand with God. See, a lot of people think, and I've heard people say to me this, problems, if this had not happened in my life or that had not happened in my life, I still would be serving God. Oh, no, you wouldn't. Troubles do not
bring weakness to your faith. Troubles reveals the weakness in your faith. It was already there, brother. And these troubles just brought about the fact that there's a weakness that needs to be perfected. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's horrible, but we need to perfect it. I know a person that I've dealt with for quite a few years now. This person lost a son in an automobile wreck and have never forgiven God, and hasn't been to church since this happened. And on a regular basis, I talk to this person and try to encourage him, and I think there is some headway being made, but they're always going back and saying, you know, I think God is just picking on me. Well, that's a weakness in this person's faith. I'm not downing them. I'm not just, you know, doing that. I'm just saying there's a weakness there. Their faith needs to be perfected. You can't look at something that's happened in your life and say, well, because of this, I just don't believe God cares and I'm not going to serve. Oh, no, no, that's a weakness in your faith. And it needs to be strengthened. It needs to be perfected. Amen? See, God never does anything wrong. God is good. And God is always good. And God will always be good. Do we always understand it? Absolutely not. Now listen to me. Do you think that I can look at that person and say, you know what, I know how you feel, and I've even told them this, I've never lost a son in an automobile accident. I do not know how they feel, but I want to tell you this. I know the God who loves them, and I know God never makes mistakes, and I know we're not supposed to blame God for our problems. It shows a weakness in our faith that needs to be perfected. Amen? So, the faith here, there's things lacking, and hard times and difficult times should build our faith, not diminish it. Amen? Then also, I just want to share with you the results of faith. Look in verse number 12. Look at the results of strengthened faith. Excuse me, let me read verse number 11. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as ye do toward you. Let me tell you what one of the great results of true faith and strengthening faith will do. It'll cause you to love more. It will. It'll cause you to love more. It'll cause you to love the brethren. It'll cause you certainly to love God, but it'll cause you to love the brethren. You see, our faith determines many times our love. How strong is your faith? When you have strong faith in Jesus Christ, how can we hate the brethren? How can we do that? How can we look down on the brethren? I've pastored for over 38 years. And preached for over 38 years, and I've seen a lot of things. I've seen people who loved other people until that person maybe done something they didn't like. And all at once, they didn't love them that much anymore. That's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. The agape love of God is always steady, secure, and always there. No matter. Thank God. Thank God. Or we'd all be in trouble. You see, there's a lacking in faith when people can look down on another individual and begin to not like them because they did this or that, and so they no longer consider them a sweet brethren or sister in Christ. There's something wrong with that. Faith, there's something in their faith that is lacking. You may not like everything your brothers do, but you can love them. Amen? And whoever made you perfect? You understand what I'm saying? You see, strong faith, increased faith, will cause you to love more. That's what he said. Now look at verse number 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Did you notice he said that they may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God? True faith that's strengthened will cause you to live more holy life. Yeah, well, when your faith begins to strengthen and grow, I want to tell you, wrong living absolutely will so devastate you. You won't be able to continue in it. As your faith grows, holiness becomes very, very important to you. Not that we can ever be like Him, but when we're not, it ought to absolutely discourage us enough to go to Him for forgiveness and cleansing and saying, Lord, I don't want to live this way anymore. True faith, established faith, will cause you to live a holy life for God. Amen. See, and that's what God wants. He wants our faith established, strengthened, and set fast in Christ. There isn't any other. When you get up tomorrow morning, your Savior is there to love you and to guide you and sometimes bring things into our lives that we really didn't want to come. But He's a loving God. And our faith must be in Him. We must trust God. We must trust Him, not the thin ice, but that rock which will never yield. And that rock is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God the Son and Son of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and goodness and kindness, your wonderful love. Help us, Lord, for our faith to increase and be established in you. Now, Father, we as Christians, we need our faith strengthened. Help us in these coming days, Lord. I believe there's things coming that we're sure going to need to trust you always, as we always should have. Thank you once again. Love us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.